We were talking about how much can you deck out a file before it will crash and you lose all of your data and everything dies and then you have to go and weep in a ditch.
Yeah, so let's talk about crashing animation programs and crashing your projects and what you've lost.
Can you remember the most data you've ever lost?
See, now I am rather lucky. The most data I've ever lost would have been when I was a kid. I had a Gateway computer.
What is that?
The Gateway doesn't exist anymore. It had like the logo was a box with a cow print thing on it. Anyway, so I had this computer and it probably had some artwork on it. It died and I don't have any of that artwork anymore. But other than that, I have been good about keeping backups. So the most I've ever lost is probably a day of work.
Wait, but you just say that your childhood laptop, like you lost all your childhood work?
No, any digital stuff or photo edits. So I used to like edit photos and stuff. But the point where I started drawing a lot, where I had a digital tablet, all of that stuff I have saved in a folder archive. So I still have a lot of that.
Oh man, it's like this is why because when we were first like demoing if we should do this series or not, it what we accidentally did was go into the surface level of about 30 different topics and not fully explore any of them, which is why we're having to be a little bit more structured with this to make sure, okay,
Yes.
we're having a topic, because I'm very tempted to start going into nostalgic childhood art. And the kind of things that you're still proud of to
No.
look at, and the things that just make you want to die.
Let's just write that down. We'll
Okay,
write
cool.
childhood art down. I'm writing it down now. Childhood
Yes,
art
I had a
and
big day of that
nostalgia
yesterday, but.
episode. But today we're talking about crashing and saving your data and what to do to not lose all of the artwork you've made. So right now, what's the most you've lost?
I can't remember. I've been pretty lucky. But I had an experience of it just the other day because if anyone follows the stuff happening on my channel, is I had a big like computer crash and it just like died, and I lost about, I didn't lose 2 weeks of work that had happened, but it put me out of commission for 2 weeks while
Oh.
I had to scavenge and build a new machine and all that sort of stuff. But then was came the process of moving all of the data from Macintosh to Windows, and that's an interesting process. Because there were some things that did not survive the journey. Either I can't find it now because it's like just lost in the depths of something somewhere, or I wasn't able to complete it properly. Like I did a first impressions video where the audio just didn't work because I wasn't used to using Windows. But the footage was now gone. So,
Wait, so you have the audio and no footage?
sorry, I had the footage but no audio.
Footage with no audio.
So at first I tried like redubbing it, which didn't work. It would have been easier to just re-record it. But I was just very, very lucky to be able to back up the old computer before it died completely. Like it could get booted in safe mode, so it's like, okay, put it all onto a external and then bring it all across. So there was about 2 or 3 days of just letting hard drives spin
Wow.
while I transferred quantum amounts of data because I'd been putting off doing mass backups for. You put it off for a day and then a year's happened.
Put it off for a day and then, computer crashes.
Exactly. And it's like that is a lot of data of which there is only one copy of, and I'm being very neglectful.
Last year, I got a flash drive or an SSD, solid state drive. So I had that, and before the warranty was up, it died on me. But the fortunate thing is, because it's the SSD, it didn't have my data on it, it just had all of my programs. I mean, I lost a bunch of time because I had to get. Had to send that one in, and I ended up going to the store and buying a new one because I needed a new one. I needed to be working. I couldn't not be working for 2 weeks while I wait
Like
for.
a new product key, you mean?
Yeah. No. I mean the actual physical drive.
Right,
I
right.
didn't want to wait for one to be shipped to me, which means I had to actually go to an electronics store and buy one, which is not something I do anymore.
It's
Anyway.
amazing how long a day feels when you physically can't do anything. Because I had when I'd ordered all the new equipment, the next day was a public holiday, so everything was shut.
Oh my God. That's right. I remember when you did a video where
I
you're
did.
like, well, and then, it's ready, but I can't get it.
There was one store open that had one of the parts that I needed, So I spent about half the day just traveling out to the edge of town just to pick up a graphics card.
You mentioned the graphics card. I had my graphics card fry on me a couple months ago, and...
Whoa, that's a thing that can happen? I don't know, I'm new to PCs now, so there's a whole new scary world of... It was like, whoa, thermal paste! Oh, no! How do I do
you
that?
You didn't know that could happen? Oh, boy.
I've been using Macs for 10 years. They're, you know, it's the difference between driving auto and driving stick, in my opinion.
I didn't realize that they don't have graphics cards. I've used a Mac before. I used to do one for when I edited a TV show, but... I just had a laptop for that.
Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. The whole point is that they come all in one unit, so you just don't have to think about it. Like in the same way that when you're driving automatic, you don't think about gear changes. You don't really notice it. But once you've learned how to drive manual, suddenly you feel gear changes and you know what the car's doing. So the same thing happened here. Like now that I've put a computer together, when the fans start speeding up and things are happening, I'm like, oh, I can feel that. Like I know that it's doing stuff. I know why it's doing stuff. Whereas before it was just like, the computer's making a noise. I don't know why.
So yeah, the graphics card kicked the bucket. And the thing about the graphics cards is with the market the way it is now, because so many people are mining cryptocurrency and stuff, the price of graphics cards is not low. But in the meantime, I realized that none of the programs I use really depend on the graphics card, and if I just plugged everything into the motherboard, it worked just as well.
Oh, so you just did without.
So I did without until it arrived, and I think it's more important for stuff like After Effects. So we were talking last time about how many effects can I pile onto this animation before the computer just goes...
Yeah, and that's something I'm still sort of on the fence on, because... Like I emailed Toonboom and stuff about it, being like, okay, so is this more CPU or GPU heavy? And I was sort of just like looking at the system requirements of all the programs I want to use. And to my surprise, it looks like everything banks a lot more on the CPU, despite all being graphics-based software.
That is exactly what I was talking about. So the graphics card, not a big deal. Toonboom still worked.
But I'm still not completely certain, because... this is still based on what the general populace would use. Like, vector-based animation, for sure, that makes sense. But if you're doing heavy-based node stuff, where it's lots of particle rendering, lots of glows and stuff, and if I'm going to be doing that in other programs as well, then what's that? What resource is that going to be using?
I was going to say, in my experience, because I don't use Toonboom Premium, so the effects I can do are limited. Mm. But in my experience, the stuff that you're talking about is GPU-based, because that's, since I use After Effects all the time, I was like, well, that's where I need the graphics card, is for After Effects stuff. So I would think that in Toonboom, all of the compositing and the nodes and all the stuff that you do there, that would be GPU, not CPU, but... I don't know.
I hope so. Otherwise, I'll just have to start getting back into gaming just so I feel like I got my money's worth. I didn't intend to use this machine for gaming just so that I can have like that divide. If I'm at this workstation, I'm getting stuff done. If I want to play games, I'll go use the Switch.
Oh, yeah, that's
But now
important.
I'm sort of thinking like, well, I've got it. Maybe I should just, I don't know.
No. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. If you start using... One good way to make sure you're always working and not getting distracted by things is to have areas in your living space that are dedicated to certain things. So if you're at this computer, you're making stuff, you're making videos, you're producing animation, you're working on your game. If you start using your computer for gaming, you might sit there and think, well, maybe I'm going to play some Witcher 3.
I'm hoping that's the case, especially because of the whole... the lifestyle choice where I've sort of taken a step backwards and I'm back to my bedroom is my primary workspace now after being in studio spaces for many, many years. So it's a strange feeling because it feels like going a bit backwards. But yeah, with all this equipment, it still feels like one step backwards, two step forwards, if that makes sense.
One step back. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so one divide that I'm doing is that this station does not have a chair. Like, it is a strictly standing setup. One reason, because I physically cannot fit a chair in here anymore because the equipment's so large. But second, I noticed that I don't tend to just stand here watching YouTube videos for hours on end, whereas if I was in a chair, that would happen.
Maybe that's my problem. I sit. I sit and I end up watching. Not too bad, but I will get into things.
It's interesting doing these recordings, though, because I find that standing is much more interesting because I tend to dance around the room a little bit more. It's easier.
Oh, yeah. If I was standing, I'm not, because I think it would cause too much echo on my end. I'd probably be doing all the body language of standing and maybe even walking in a little circle over and over and over again.
I very much am. And hopefully it means I'm not like constantly moving away and towards the microphone over and over again, or bumping the table and making inappropriate bass sounds. I think we've covered everything we wanted to talk about with crashing, because we didn't really have too much experience.
With crashing. Well, let's talk about what you can do to mitigate the costs of that. So, you know, stuff crashes. Back your stuff up. Back your stuff up.
Back up. Like, I don't think that's anything that anyone. Oh, that's new information. It's funny when there's a pause like that of like 5 seconds or more. It's like, oh, who's going to break it?
So I mean I don't know what to say other than back your stuff up, but there's lots of different ways to do it. Like, some people, and this I haven't done, you can take your drives, your hard drives, and set them up into what's called a RAID array. So what they do is they you don't know what that is. Okay, so what a RAID array does is the drives constantly copy each other. So basically at any given time, two of your hard drives have the same thing on them. So if one of them fries,
oh, that's awesome,
the other one still works. Now, I don't have mine. There's different ways to set it up, too. You can actually chain your drives together so that they work faster.
Mm-hmm.
it's really interesting. So if you haven't learned about that or gotten into it, it's RAID, R-A-I-D, arrays, and there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I don't have it set it up. One of the reasons is because... if you, for example, chain your drives together so that your computer will be faster, that decreases their lifespan, their overall lifespan, like how many years they're going to last, because they're doing more work.
Right.
Same thing with the duplicate copies of backing them up.
Okay.
But a lot of professionals do this. They have a RAID array system of some kind. I'm still manually copying and pasting files over to my backup drive. So once I finish a project, I'll copy it and paste it into my other hard drive, so I have it in two places.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Yeah, and if I'm working on a major project, then I copy and paste stages of it to a separate folder.
Is there a Windows equivalent to Time Machine, though?
Yes, but not the way you think.
Okay.
So I'm going to say no. There probably is. I just don't know.
I'll do my own Googling. I don't need to be taking up our screen time just being like, hey, can you help me with my little issue that everyone else has clearly gotten sorted, because I'm just no good with hardware.
Yeah, Time Machine. There's got to be some kind of Windows equivalent.
There'd have to be. That was one of the reasons why I came back, is just because now there's more flexibility. I want to map all these fancy macro keys to stuff so I can have infinity shortcuts. Just be like, press the animate button. All right, cool. Time for drinks.
The animate button.
Yeah, have you ever had any experience with the animate button?
Oh, well, I have one on my keyboard.
No, I mean, like...
It's the animate button. It's right there. I just pressed it.
But talking to people who are, like, outside, like, our world. Oh, what do you do? Oh, animate. Oh, isn't it all just done with computers now? You're like, well, yeah, but you still got to draw it.
That's funny. No, my experience with that has always been, well, what do you do? And then I say, I'm an animator. And I kind of mumble it, and they go, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. That must be so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's always like, I mean, yes, but it's also a lot of work. I find the one thing that people don't understand is that art is a lot of work. So when you say you're an artist as your job, people are just like, oh, wow, that must be so much fun.
Well, they're not wrong. It's still fun. Otherwise,
still
we
fun.
Wouldn't do it.
I mean, they're not wrong. Yeah, but.
but I know what you mean. I do enjoy those conversations because it's like there's intrigue. Like, it's fun having something that isn't terribly common.
Yeah, that is. I always like that. I've always had careers like that. You make it fun and interesting.
Mm. But there has been the odd occasion where having to explain that it isn't automatic. There is still work involved happens. And communicating that's... it's interesting to, because we are so wrapped up in it all the time, that the idea of, you know, 12 or even 24 drawings per second of footage is still a thing that happens sometimes. It still happens a lot. And it freaks them out. But I don't know. In a way, it's still quicker than a lot of 3D. It's like, oh, isn't 3D cheaper and quicker? But oh, geez, like, you've seen how long it's taken the last Pixar movie to come out? Like,
I was going to say, that's a whole other... Again, it's just a whole area we could talk about is...
Yeah. Doing 2D frame by frame is a relief. Like, it's the quick way. All you got to do is draw it. As opposed to go through the whole process of rigging and texturing.
You know, 3D versus 2D, it's the same thing as, well, 2D puppet versus 2D frame by frame. Like, sure, you'd think that the puppet's faster, but there's it's actually not. In some cases, it'd be faster to just draw the dang thing.
Oh, yeah, it's so bizarre. I think we've spoken about this privately before, but the couple of times I've demonstrated rigs to ex-Disney animators, and that experience is really interesting. They're so talented. They're so freaking good at expressing and getting form and dimension out of a 2D character, and it blows me away. But the concept of rigs is very foreign, and it's a completely different way to work. And I can definitely feel their pain of, hey, your 30 years of experience isn't like... You kind of just have to let it go and embrace this new method, because it is that quality quantity balance. And in these conversations with them, we've tried to sort of find what's the middle ground. Like, how can we use these rigs to continue to get the same amount of expression out of it? If you had something like the rigs in Hilda, yeah, sure. But if you had something fairly a bit more, just like a marionette, sort of 3/4 angle, and that's pretty much all you're given, it is hard to get that amount of expression out. And, you know, they'll draw up some roughs and then try and pose the puppet to it.
That'd be so hard to do, to try and pose a puppet to a rough. I mean, I guess you have to do it, going back to the storyboard thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I still recommend that. If I'm animating with rigs, I'll still rough it out just because it is quicker.
But when you're thinking about it from the perspective of someone who's a classically trained Disney animator and how they draw poses with so much expression in them, and trying to imagine this person drawing that thing, drawing, like, you know, the beast turning into a human, and then trying to have them put that on top of a rig is just...
What an example.
Frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. So when I say roughing, I mean, like... As someone who knows the bounds of what that rig is capable of, so I'll just be like, oh, I'll just whip up a couple of stick figures of generic poses. Whereas, like, yeah, these are like full head turn with like a lot of expression emoting and the face is stretching out. And, you know, then trying to map it all, and they're saying, oh, it would be quicker to draw this. I say, yeah. I feel your pain very much. Yeah. I wish we could just draw this. So, I don't know. I think it would be fun to sort of like maybe hack and slash a production thing together where you have a couple of people who are at that experience level. Let's just give them money shots. Have a few bits per episode where it does just suddenly leap to that quality and find some way to bridge the gap so it still looks like one show.
I feel like I've seen that done before. I just can't think of any specific examples. What you call it a money shot, which is what, yeah, it's called a money shot. But basically the part in the animation where... you want to put all of your budget, you know, the most important thing. So lately on Netflix, there's a series called Castlevania, and they came out with season 2. So in season 2, there's almost a lot less action, and it's more drama-based compared to the first season. But the thing about season 2 is it's like the animation doesn't seem as good as you remember it being in season 1, but when you hit that second-to-last episode, you go, oh, that's where all the money went.
Oh, right. So when it ramps up, it really ramps up.
Yeah. That's where all the money went. And then they just, you know...
That happens in anime a lot, doesn't it? I think there's like a word for it.
Sakuga. Sakuga.
Yeah. I've spoken about it once before, and I'm ignorant to all the anime slang. So when it gets pointed out, I feel really like underqualified. which I guess is a bit different, though, because if anime is still typically a traditional workflow in frame by frame, and then it's just... pump in all the hectic angles and detail and frame rate, as opposed to let's change style from rig base to frame by frame for a moment and then back again. That could be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, going from changing from rig to 2D, that actually, that's something I'm probably going to try in Scribble Kibble.
Cool.
That there'll be the puppet, and then there's just going to be stuff that is going to be way easier to do as a frame-by-frame animation. So, I don't know. The only problem is because I'm not a Disney. I mean, not Disney specifically, but because I'm not a traditional classical artist with a lot of good, solid drafting skills, what's going to happen is when we go to the frame-by-frame stuff that isn't rigged, the character's proportions are going to be off as it moves throughout the poses.
You'll be fine. Just spend more time on the roughing to make sure that it's just kind of solid. But you know, I'm trying to think of a good example of when it probably has shifted like that. There's times where it definitely happens on shows that are a bit more hybrid based anyway. Like they're constantly shifting between rigged and frame by frame, or it's both. Like they might have a rigged head with a frame by frame body.
That would be weird.
I'm trying to think of a really, hey.
That'd be weird. You have an example of that where the head is rigged but the body is frame by frame. Wouldn't that be stiff?
Well, Prison Zero was like that.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that one.
It's on Netflix still, I think. We did that way, which was sort of like a compromise. And as we got deeper and deeper into it, we're like, it'd be nice if the whole thing was frame by frame. And if it ever had a second season, it probably would have gone that way. But yeah, no word on that.
Huh.
So, but when you're 15 episodes in, you can't really reinvent the wheel.
No, you're allowed to reinvent the wheel usually between seasons, and sometimes it goes backwards. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Sometimes the first season will be animated a certain way, and then they outsource it to a different studio the second season, and the quality changes, not always in a good way.
Well, that's like that makes sense, though, because if you're coming from a budgetary and scheduling perspective, it's a lot more stuff is probably going to go over budget in the first season than under.
Okay. Yeah.
So by second season, it's like, okay, this time we got to be a lot more wise with our money so we don't have to work as many weekends. How do we do that? Let's have one tone less shading. Let's use twos more often. Let's have more over shoulder dialogue shots. Just trim a few little bits so that, you know, we can survive and get it done at all. Otherwise, it'll just get canned and never happen. Yeah, it's nice when it does up in its quality. I think it's usually a bit of a balance because those compromises will have to happen. But if you're lucky enough to still have the same team, then they're going to be more practiced and know how to draw the style well. And usually it speeds up as well. It's more often than not that the first episode will take probably a couple of months. And then by the end, you can get it down to just 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're working with rigs, because then you've got all the pieces and everything and you're used to them by the end. Mm.
If you manage it well and you build up like a good library of parts that you can sort of swap out and things. But also, all of the problems with the rigs will start to present themselves.
At the first episode, and then you have to fix everything.
There's always modifications happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, okay, do we want to rebuild all the characters from the ground up this time? Start again? With all the lessons in mind? Or do we have this really complete set with all of the extra parts that have been made for it and still sort of just grit our teeth through its issues? So that's what decision will be more expensive there? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I mean, I know at what point I end up rebuilding a rig, but you know, I'm still learning quite a bit each build, so there hasn't been a point where it isn't worth it to upgrade at some, you know,
well,
eventually.
It depends on what you're building as well. Like, for a solo project, and if the character's only going to be seen from a couple of angles, then a particular method may be more useful than, like, a complete character turnaround versus an envelope-based one versus a remote control style one. Did you get to muck around with that onion one I sent you?
I mean, yeah, you bet I was opened that up and was like, okay, I gotta see how he layered and organized everything. No, the unfortunate thing is that all the features get stripped from it when I open it. So it still works, but the onion, like, if I ever try to adjust certain things, it will probably just go, nope.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm very curious to see your method. I wonder if another one of these... Oh, no, we'll probably do it on my channel if it's got video.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good thing for your channel. Yeah, but I think we've covered quite a few topics for this episode. We started with crashes, and then we ended up talking about sort of rigs versus 2D traditional and when to do it.
It's like that issue I stated at the start of the episode, being like, we have a habit of dabbling a lot of topics.
But that's fine with a longer...
I'm glad I mentioned that this episode, because that's exactly what we ended up doing.
Well, I figure every episode we'll probably talk one to two things, and then we'll just be like, yeah, we talk about these two things. So come join us.
Yeah, OG, we're still finding our feet.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get forgiven. How many people, like, I am outraged that you covered more than one topic. They're a friendly bunch.
Well, if they like, we could split them up into two 15-minute pieces, but I think one longer piece with the two different topics works just fine.
Yeah, it's finding a natural break in it's going to be. Yeah. But no, this has been fun.